Blog Talk Radio.
Space, the final frontier. These are the continuing voyages of the starship Enterprise. Her ongoing mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life forms and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Hey guys, it's Uncle Jim with you. Welcome to the Trek Tarkin Archives. And every week I go back to our previous shows and I pull one of my favorites out and I replay it for you guys. This was an interview we did with a good friend of ours, Victoria Fox, who works on Star Trek fan films. In particular, this one is Interlude from the Avalon universe. And I just thought you guys might enjoy this. So sit back and enjoy our nice interview with Victoria Fox. And make sure you check us out on Facebook at Trek Talking and Beyond. And please have a safe and happy Thanksgiving if you're listening in the United States. And remember, there will be no Trek Talking this Thursday due to Thanksgiving. So I'm going to give you this special show. So sit back and enjoy Victoria Fox.
Blog Talk Radio.
Kingway, Fox, Beer, Locker's acting very weird. Captain Pike, Sisko's wife, Klingons and the afterlife. Boimler, Tendi's dog, Ransom is very hard. Spore Drive, Black Alert, Giorgio has gone berserk. Teacher, bad left, Edward is an idiot. Spock is dead, Worf is wed, Chekhov's wearing red. Data's cat, Kempak that, Q has had enough of that. Beam me up, make it so, everybody let's go.
We talk about the series, you can join us live by picking up your phone now. We talk about the series, we're coming to you on your streaming services now. We talk about the series,
well, good evening, Trekkies and Trekkers around the globe. With that awesome, incredible theme song, that means it's time for another episode of Trek Talkin'. I'm your most excellent host, Uncle Jim, and with me as usual are my Trekspurs. But before I get to them, I just want to let you know that we have a great show planned for you guys tonight, and I'm so excited. We're going to have with us live in the studio the one, the only, Victoria Fox. She's not only an actor, a writer, and a producer, but now she's a director. And she's recently directed the new Star Trek fan film, Interlude. And she's going to be on with us a little bit later, excuse me, to talk about taking the director's reins. So you guys want to stick around for that. That'll be a lot of fun. But wait, there's more. We also have Starbuck on Star Trek. That's interesting. John DeLancey talks Q. Geordi on Jeopardy. A COVID scare shuts down Discovery. Dun, dun, dun. We have Star Trek birthdays, fan shout-outs, and around the globe. So you want to stick around. We have a lot of fun. Our studio line will be open, as always, and the phone number is 646-668-2433. 646-668-2433. We'll be with you for another 2 hours. So put that number in speed dial and get on the phone. So, with me as usual are my Trekspurs, and we'll start out with the birthday boy himself. Dun, 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 dun. Who am I talking about? Sub-Commander Charles. He's out in Las Vegas. How you doing tonight, Charles?
I'm doing good. Getting ready for the fest. But yesterday was my birthday. I get to have my own 3-day weekend. Even though I got somebody else, Uncle Jim, trying to celebrate my birthday. Feeling all right. It's a little warm today. We're getting a bit of a heat wave. But I wish you Jim to see about
it. Yeah, you know, it's damp and a little bit chilly here up here in Vermont, but that's okay. Camp opens tomorrow, and it's going to roll right out and be beautiful, so I'm all for that. I'm pretty excited. And We also have with us Eric. Eric is out in Portland. How you doing tonight, Eric?
I am doing fantastic. It is, I'm sorry, guys, another beautiful day in Portland. It's 77 degrees, sunny, breezy. I just couldn't ask for any more. And I'm super excited to talk to Victoria tonight. These fan films that we review are always so much fun, and she's a good friend of the podcast, and I'm super looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. It's always fun when she comes on with us. So you guys can head on over to our Facebook page at Trek Talking and Beyond. Spell that all out. We have 48,875 followers. We're moving in on 50,000. We'd love to add you to the family. So head on over there. And while you're there, you'll see the Live Long and Prosper at the top of the page. And drop us a line. Tell us where you're from. Because every week we go through and we give fan shout-outs to individuals who visit our Facebook page. And we also go around the globe and send shout-outs to individual countries to see who's where around the globe. And for that, we turn to Eric. So, Eric, why don't you get us started with our around the globe numbers?
Well, guys, it is hard to believe that it has happened yet again, but here we are. The UK has done it again. 5.65% of our listeners, that is a new international record, come from the United Kingdom. I just don't even know what to say. I have lost count of how many weeks they have set records. I believe it's about 4 or so, perhaps 5. They just keep climbing and climbing and climbing. The folks in the UK love us. We love them. It's all about Star Trek. It's amazing. I just can't even believe it. I'm so impressed with the UK right now.
I was shocked when we broke 5%. And when we kept climbing from there, I was speechless. Now that we're at 5.65%, Wow.
Yep. It's pretty impressive, and here we go. They just keep on climbing. So thank you so much to the folks in the UK. We super appreciate all the listeners that we have there, friends and new people alike. So thank you so much. In that number 2 spot for our international listeners this week is Australia, the folks down under. Now, they were just a skosh under 4% last week, and they blasted ahead a full 0.1%, so they are coming in at 4.06% of our listeners, a new record for Australia. So good job, folks. Thank you so much for listening to us. In that number 3 spot, we've got Canada with 3.08% of our listeners, almost where they were last week. So thank you very much to the brothers and sisters that we have just to the north of our northern border. We always appreciate having the Canadians along for the ride, and we hope you like listening to the podcast. In that number 4 spot, still holding steady, our Scandinavian brothers and sisters, Norway, with 2.27% of our listeners. And finally, in that number 5 spot, holding steady, right in the center of Europe, we have Germany with 1.26% of our listeners. Oh my gosh, you guys, so many international listeners, so many domestic listeners. I get so juiced up about all the people around the globe that listen to us every week. But Charles has the skinny on our top cities that listen to us, which is a new segment, right? Right there, Jim?
Yeah, I decided that rather than breaking them down by countries, let's narrow it down a little bit more to cities. And I want to be the first two because I don't want any nepotism going on here. Okay. I'm going to do the first two, and then Charles can jump in. So coming in at 20 out of the top 100 cities, this city came in at 20. That's respectable. That's very respectable. And, of course, that's the home base of our very own Eric, and I'm talking about Portland, Oregon, coming in at 20. Impressive. Very, very impressive. You are quite the draw in Portland, Eric. But,
well, the whole team is, that's for sure.
No, you go on YouTube.
Not to be outdone, though. Coming in at number 17, a few notches higher on our top 100 list, our very own birthday boy himself, Sub-Commander Charles in Las Vegas, comes in at 17 out of our top 100. That's extremely impressive. So, wow. You guys are quite the draw. And just as a comparison, just to throw this out there, your very own Uncle Jim has been at this since 2015. My hometown of Rutland, Vermont, didn't even crack the top 100. So there you have it. So
yeah, Charles and I might have a slight advantage with population there, but
yeah, you guys did all the hard work. So Charles, why don't you take it away from here?
All right. Well, number 10 in the 10th spot. We have San Antonio.
I'll tell you. Hold on.
Mm-hmm.
In number 9, we got Brisbane, Australia. The next one, Sao Paulo, Brazil.
Sao Paulo. Thank you, Sao Paulo.
Number 7 is Chicago, Illinois.
Represent.
And then number 6, Toronto, Ontario, Canada.
Ah, I love Toronto.
Number 5, one of my favorite cities, Los Angeles, California.
Had some good times in L.A.
From Hollywood, some of the near my popular amusement parks and some great beaches in that area. In number 4, we have Melbourne, Australia. That's where our Aussies are. In number 3, we got Sydney, New Wales, Australia. Number 2, we got London in the UK. We got lots of Londoners out there.
Mm-hmm. That must be where most of our UK listeners come from.
Yeah, absolutely.
Number 1, what do you mean? New York City? Yep, New York City in New York.
The city's so nice, they named it twice.
New York and Broadway must be popular with us.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of represents China.
No wonder they have to have a convention in New York. That's where a lot of Trekkies are hiding out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's most of our listeners in the United States are in New York, New York. That's pretty cool. Since I kind of grew up there, I spent a lot of summers down in Brooklyn where my grandparents lived, and I was born and raised in upstate New York before I moved up here. So, yeah, I kind of consider that my home. So
Thanks, those are our
top cities. Those are our top countries. And now we're going to do our top fans. These are individual people that listen to us and go on our Facebook page and tell us where they're from. And Eric, who do we have to say hello to tonight on your list?
Well, our very first fan shout-out this week goes out to Eric Diaz from Calle in Puerto Rico, down in the Caribbean. So, Eric, thank you for listening to us. And it's good to know we have people down in Puerto Rico listening to us, too. That's totally awesome. We're also saying hello and giving a big thank you shout-out to Katja Catharsis from Bonn, Germany, out there in Deutschland, one of our number 5 international listeners. Thank you so much, Katja. Man. Just so cool. We have people so far away that listen to us. It just gets me every time. But wait, you think Germany's far away? Dheeraj Brijal lives in South Africa and is listening to us. So thank you, Dheeraj, for listening to us all the way down at the tip of the continent. Wow, that's pretty amazing.
Is that our first South Africa listener?
I cannot remember another South African listener. We have had very few African countries represented in our numbers, and that might be our first. Yeah, that's pretty cool. I think we had some folks from Egypt once, but that there's not a lot of Africa representation. So yeah, Dheeraj, thank you so much for representing South Africa for us. We're also sending a big shout-out, hello, and thank you for listening to Peter Satowski from Stuttgart, also in Deutschland. So, Peter, wow, 2 people from Germany on my list. I love it. Thank you for listening. And my final one, which is very special and dear to my heart, Jean McLaren Sharp If you are listening tonight from Oregon, where you hail from, isn't the weather nice? Thank you for listening to us, and thank you for contacting us on our Facebook page. Charles, who are you saying hello to this week?
Well, let's start off with Luis Lodo from Brazil.
Awesome.
So, look, and he loves it.
Ah, cool.
Kathy Linda Wattal from Palatine, Illinois. It's a suburb of Chicago.
Kathy, I've been to Palatine many times.
Oh, I've been to Chicago, but not Palatine that I know of. Unless you're near, unless it's near Great Mistakes, Illinois. And our naval friends know about that one.
Mm-hmm.
Martin and Selm Ashfeld from West Coast District of Gothenburg, Sweden.
Wow.
Look at Sweden there.
That's
Sweden.
So cool.
Great. And Philip Evans from St. Doritos, California. I wonder who Jim's got on his list.
Well, I want to say hello and thank you to Bruce Matthews. He says, I am an hour south of Montreal and an hour north of Star Trek Museum in Ticonderoga, New York, in Plattsburgh, New York. Well, you know what, Bruce? If they have Ticonderoga again this year, and it's looking like maybe they'll be able to, it hasn't been decided for sure yet, but it's leaning in that direction. If they do, Bruce, definitely should make it there, because I hear there's going to be a really good-looking Klingon waving his batleth around, and he'll probably let you touch it. So you don't want to pass that up. And there's a possibility that Trek Talkin' may be there doing a live show, and the Leslie Hoffman may be joining me there. So if you can make it to Ticonderoga, and if they do it this year, Bruce, you definitely should stop by the booth. I'll get you on the radio with us. You can introduce yourself to everyone and say hello, and I'll let you touch my bat list. So thank you for listening, Bruce. We really appreciate it. Kapla! We're also saying hello and thank you to Barbara Robles Casquigu?
Casquejo.
Yeah, there you go. Yes. A Trekkie from Manila, Philippines. Thank you for listening, Barbara. We really, really appreciate it. We're also saying thank you and live long and prosper to Joe Manos from Stafford, New Jersey. And last, no, not last, I'm sorry. And also top fan, Andrew Polson from Buffalo, New York. I've been there several times. Great city. Thank you for listening, Andrew. And now, last but not least, Tracy Downey, who's listening to us in Australia. G'day, mate. And we just love our Australian listeners. And I just wanted to go back to the our Canada listeners, and I just wanted to say, take one more opportunity to say congratulations to GM Chris, our Canadian connection, on his recent engagements. Congratulations to Chris, and I hope all works out well for you. And without any further ado, it's time for our birthdays.
That was not a Klingon song.
And this part of the show, we always start off our birthdays with remembering those of our Star Trek family who are no longer with us. For that, we turn to Eric. So, Eric, who are we remembering tonight?
Yeah, our first remembrance this week goes out to the actor Vic Perrin, who played the character of Tharn in the TOS episode Mirror Mirror. If you do not remember who he is, he's one of the Halkins. They're the people who have the little blue dot in the middle of their forehead. And he was, I believe, the leader of the Halkin Council in that very excellent episode. And I think the Halcons kind of get forgotten a little bit with all of the Spock and Kirk shenanigans that go on in Mirror Mirror. So happy birthday, and we're sorry that we no longer have you, Vic Perrin. Excellent contribution to that episode. We're also saying happy birthday and sending our remembrances out this week to K.E. Cooter, who played a Cintharian in the TNG episode The Nth Degree, and also played the character of Sira in the DS9 episode The Storyteller. So two credits there. So happy birthday to K.E. Cooter. We're also saying happy birthday and sending our remembrances out to Jacqueline Brooks, who played Admiral Brand in the TNG episode The First Duty. You know, yet another one of those great Federation admirals. That's all I'll say. But great job in that role, Jacqueline. We do miss you, and happy birthday. We're also sending happy birthday remembrances out to Madge Sinclair, who played Geordi LaForge's mother in the TNG episode Interface. And she also has a second credit for Star Trek here. She played the captain of the USS Saratoga in Star Trek IV. Personally, one of my favorite Star Trek movies. It's right up there, part of that trilogy of 2, 3, and 4. And it was very nice to see her there. And then it was nice to see her again as Geordi's mother years later in TNG. So happy birthday to Madge Sinclair. Yeah, go ahead.
I could not find the name of that character from Star Trek IV, the captain of the USS Saratoga.
Yeah, it is interesting. I went and looked for it too, and I don't think the captain is named. Yeah.
Yeah, and just a little side story. I went with my wife, my girlfriend Karen, to see that when in high school, and I went to see it in upstate New York, about half an hour south of Saratoga. And when the movie starts out and she comes on and it's the USS Saratoga, the entire audience started cheering and clapping that the USS Saratoga was in Star Trek. It was just a neat moment that, you know, it just stuck with me as cool. So,
yeah, very cool.
You know.
thanks, Jim. I always love your story. You've always got such great stories. And our last remembrance this week goes out to somebody who I think is one of the icons of Star Trek. I consider him one of the icons of Star Trek. He's a big one. He's played a few different roles and some really, really big ones. William Campbell would have had a birthday this week. He started out way back in the TOS era playing Trelane in the TOS episode The Squire of Gothos, which I think is just, I don't know. To me, that is one of those quintessential TOS episodes that when you think of TOS, Squire of Gothos is just one of those ones that you think about, right? Another godlike being that turns out to be nothing, spoiler alert, nothing but a child, really.
Yeah.
which I think is a pretty cool, storytelling mechanism that has shown up a few times in Star Trek. So he did a great job in that role, but wait, there's more. He was also famous for playing a Klingon, and I'm surprised that Jim didn't want to take this one from me, both in the TOS episode Trouble with Tribbles and years and years and years later in the DS9 episode Blood Oath. We're, of course, talking about Koloth, one of the big three, I'll call them, Klingons from that episode and from back in the TOS days. You know, what can I say? I mean, that trio is something really special in Star Trek lore, and William Campbell is an absolutely essential part of that. So having him both play a weird child god and one of the most quintessential Klingons in all of Star Trek, I think is pretty special. So happy birthday to William Campbell. We do miss you. Charles, Jim, do you have a story about William Campbell?
Well, yeah, I do have a story about William Campbell. I was at a convention up in Syracuse, New York. John Delancey was there and William Campbell. They were both there. And I remember John Delancey putting his arm around William Campbell and calling him son and saying that Trelane was actually Q's son. on Star Trek. So that was pretty cool.
I love it. That's so cool.
That was cool. But I wanted to throw something in there. Did you see the new Blood Oath Attack Wing faction pack for the Klingons and Kolok's new card?
Yes.
Awesome.
I did.
Awesome.
And it is really I mean, that whole Blood Oath pack is going to be so much fun for Star Trek Attack Wing, but the Koloth card that that Jim is talking about is, let's see, when an opposing ship within range performs a maneuver, place 2 time tokens on this card, perform a maneuver on this ship die with a speed of 2. So you can just like, oh, somebody's close to me, been around, do another maneuver, and boom, catch somebody in your firing arc. So I'm pretty excited about that whole pack.
Yeah, that's going to be fun. So listen, guys, we still have a few more birthdays to go through. Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back after we hear this very important message from my good friend TJ at Freakopolis Geekery. Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back.
This podcast is brought to you in part by the Freakopolis Geekery, the premier upstate New York comics and game shop. Centrally located between Saratoga Glens Falls, Ticonderoga, and Rutland, Vermont, the Geekery is a haven for pop culture and science fiction fans. For Star Trek fans, the Geekery features board games like Ascendancy, as well as awesome gaming titles like Star Trek Adventures RPG from Modiphius, Star Trek Away Team's HeroClix, and of course, Star Trek Attack Wing ship-to-ship tactical combat for the tabletop. The Geekery hosts casual play sessions, learn-to-play sessions, and sanctioned organized play tournaments with limited edition prize support. You'll also find comics and trade paperbacks at Freakopolis, including Star Trek titles from IDW. Lots of issues are in stock, and special orders are no problem. Whether you visit in person by shuttlecraft or beam in online to Freakopolis.com, you'll find yourself right at home at the Freakopolis Geekery.
And we're back. I'm so excited that this COVID, there's a light at the end of the tunnel, and next month, Freakopolis is going to be able to open up to in-store gaming again. I'm so excited about that. But we have some more important stuff to talk about. Charles, who's on your birthday list?
Well, I had to go through my list and sort them. Start off with Blimey, who played Thompson in the TOS episode Wink of an Eye. David L. Ross played Lieutenant Galloway in the TOS episode The Omega Glory. And I move on to Gabriel Damon, who played Jeremy Astor in the TNG episode Bonding. Doug Warhit played Zago in TNG's The Battle. Glenn Morshauer played Ensign Burke in TNG's Peak Performance. And I've got John Vargas, who played Tau in Voyager's Concerning Flight. Leslie Ann Jordan, who played Cole in Voyager's False Prophet. Galvin O'Hernley played Jabin in Voyager episode Caretaker. Nadina Clark played Sarin in Enterprise's Spoke and Bow. And then the one that finishes off to our CBS Paramount era. And one that I know many of fans really were interested in, a lot of talk, a lot of rumors about Paul Guilfoyle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Guilfoyle.
Guilfoyle. Are one of our most talked about characters, Carl, who we later found out was the Guardian of Forever, Discovery's Terraformer Parts 1 and 2. And I just love that Giorgio scene in there, back with the Emperor.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll finish off my list with Jack Quaid, whose voice was Brad Boimler in our fun series, Lower Decks. Oh, Brad, such a fun character, and I cannot wait to see what happens with him in season 2.
on the Titans.
The Jazzy captain by his side. But, okay, Jim, you're trying to take a breath and start going down your list.
Yeah, we got a lot of birth, but I think it's fun to remember all these people and all these great characters and these great episodes that they were in. So we're going to start off with saying happy birthday to Becky Wahlstrom, who played the Vizian Cogenitor in the Enterprise Cogenitor. You guys remember that episode? That was the episode where it takes three to have a baby. And the Cogenitor is a sex slave, I guess is the easiest way to put it. And
well, like
they're owned and they're used. Sex slave is, I can't think of a better way to describe it. But it's a really good episode. It really makes you think. And happy birthday to Becky for bringing that character to life for us. Great episode. Also, we'd like to say happy birthday to Jill Ireland, who played Leela in the TOS episode, This Side of Paradise. You guys remember her? She's the one that got Spock to hang upside down and look at the clouds and stuff. A great episode of TOS. Really good one. We're also saying happy birthday to Emily Burgle, who played Bethany in the Enterprise episode North Star. That's where the Enterprise goes back to the Old West. That was a fun episode as well. And this next one, I wish Leslie was here. We're saying happy birthday to Dorian Fien, who played Molly on Deep Space Nine's episode Children of Time. Leslie got to work with her on this particular episode and has a lot of great stories about how they did that whole wormhole effect where she changes time and ages and stuff. And Leslie got to work with her and said it was a lot of fun. So happy birthday to Dorian. Up next, we have Olivia Birkeland, who played Ensign Marla Gilmore in the Voyager episode Equinox. She's one of the people that was on the Equinox that was killing the interdimensional beings and got absorbed by the Voyager crew. Unfortunately, we never saw her again, but she is on the Voyager crew, and she did make it back to Earth with the Voyager crew, as far as I know. I think
five people, I think we learned from the Janeway biography. From Equinox crew made it back?
Yeah, I think she was one of them. Also, Bonnie Beecher, who played Sylvia in the TOS episode Specter of the Gun, she's the one that gets Chekhov killed, his date, so to speak. And another one that has a tie into Leslie, Lisa Wilcox, who played Eula in the TNG episode The Vengeance Factor. But she also, I think she's more well-known for her part in Nightmare on Elm Street Part 4, and Part 5, she's the one that introduces the Dream Warrior power in the movie and battles Freddy in his dreams. So happy birthday to Lisa Wilcox. Now, I always save the biggest and the best for last, and it got tough at this point because I always like to do the Klingons. I love the Klingons, and I like to do the Klingons last. So these are might seem a little bit out of order to you guys, but it is what it is. We would like to say happy birthday to Red from Orange is the New Black. Great TV show. If you've never seen it, what are you waiting for? It's great. But if you haven't seen it and you don't know who Red was, of course I'm talking about Captain Catherine Janeway from Star Trek Voyager and soon-to-be-released Star Trek Prodigy. Happy birthday to Kate Mulgrew. She's a great role model for young girls and one of the best Starfleet captains around. Happy birthday to Kate Mulgrew. Eric, would you like to say anything about Kate Mulgrew?
I'll just say that I have loved Kate Mulgrew from the very first episode of Voyager that I ever saw. I was unaware of her as an actress before that, but I have been a big fan, loved her in Orange is the New Black. I mean, what a 180 from a Janeway type character, right? But fantastic and plugged right into that show into a necessary role. And I just think Kate Mulgrew is awesome. And I love every interview with her too. She's so intelligent and, you know, she's careful with her words, but well-spoken, well-read. So just a joy to listen to. So yeah, personal happy birthday to Kate Mulgrew. I hope to be able to actually meet you one day.
And I was watching a movie that I am kind of fond of called Remo Williams, The Adventure Begins. And Kate Mulgrew is in Remo Williams, a 1984 movie. And I was watching and I was like, oh, my God, that's Captain Janeway. So, yeah, she pops up everywhere.
How about
that?
That
would have been before I knew that she was.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I'm going to say, Eric, I haven't met her directly in person, but I've listened to her panels on stage, and, yes, she's even good on panels. She is just so fun to listen to with her stories. She even talks about Red. She even talked about Red on at least one of her panels.
That's good.
She is a fun person to listen to.
Yeah.
Now, the next birthday is not as big a character as Captain Janeway, but falls under the Klingon category. And this woman, we had her on the podcast to celebrate Star Trek V, The Final Frontier's 30th anniversary, and she was a doll. And she even spoke Klingon for us. She was such a great interview. I had such a good time talking to her, and I just love her to death. I love her character. I happen to be a huge fan of Star Trek V, The Final Frontier. I'm talking about Vixis Spice Williams-Crosby. Happy birthday, kabla! And I posted on our Facebook page, for anybody that's interested, the interview that we did with her. And you guys can go and give it a listen if you feel so inclined. She was great, and I love her.
She was the best.
Happy birthday.
One of my favorites.
Spice Williams-Crosby. And I told you that it was hard to break this list down because there were so many great ones at the end, and I wasn't quite sure how to put them all in there. But, you know, I managed to get through it all. I did.
I can't believe Kate Mulgrew is third from last.
I know.
But I get it. I get it.
Yeah, I had to put them in.
For laugh for Jim.
I had to put them in some type of an order, didn't I?
Yeah.
I
totally.
Mean, really.
Well, you did a great job. I'm very
they had
about
to go in, yeah, they had to go in some type of order. And I always do I love my Klingon. I do the Klingon last. So I had to bump Kate up in front of the Klingons because that's just what I do. And that left this last one, the biggest one, I think, the best one of all, for last. And I got to say that I've been doing this podcast since 2015. I have gone through a lot of co-hosts in these years. Started off with the Admiral Ken and myself, and went with me and Ken, me and someone else, me and someone else, me and someone else. I had a couple pop in here and there whose names I can't even remember. And if you go back and listen to some of our past podcasts, I think we found the formula. And I think we found it because if you look at our numbers, look at our cities, look at our listeners, we've just taken off. And a few years ago, when I lost my last co-host, he says to me, well, I have a friend in the USS Las Vegas who I think would be very good for your show. Put me in touch with this individual. And he has been my right-hand man on this podcast ever since then. And I think at that time, we were at 5,000 followers, I think. We had just broken 5,000.
Even less because we had 5,000 when I joined. Yeah.
Yeah, and now we're pushing 50. So that's how long he's been with me. And you know what? I can't do the show without great people around me. And that's what makes the show work, is that we all have each other's backs. And we all lift each other up. And I think it's all of our different opinions and all of our inputs put together that make the show interesting and make it that the fans, something the fans want to listen to. There's a lot of podcasts out there, yet you guys choose us. And I think it's because of the awesome co-hosts that I have. So on this night, I just got to say happy birthday to our very own Sub-Commander Charles and just say thank you for hanging out and Trek talking with me for all these years and for making Thursday night something that I look forward to, you know, every week. I can't wait for Thursday night so that we can hang out and Trek Talk. So thank you so much, Charles. I really appreciate everything you do, manning our Facebook page, sticking with me through the whole situation that happened last week, and helping me clean up afterwards. I could never have done it without you, and I wouldn't think of doing the podcast by myself. So that means we have to play a very special happy birthday song and send it out to our very own sub-commander.
Well, there's a punk in the alley, and he's looking for a fight. There's an Arab on the corner buying everything in sight. There's a mother in the ghetto with another now for feet. Seems that everywhere you look today, there's misery and greed. I guess you know the earth is going to crash into the sun, but that's no reason why we shouldn't have a little fun. So if you think it's scary, if it's more than you can take, just blow out the candles and have a piece of cake.
Happy birthday! Happy birthday to you! Happy birthday!
Happy birthday, Charles, and thank you for putting up with me for all these years.
Oh, thank you. As you said, you look forward to Thursday. Thursday is always on my list. Like, okay, got to block in, got to do Trek Talking. Always on your board, like, okay, what's going to happen next? What are we doing? What are we going to be talking about? It's always a great end of the week. It's like, oh, I know Friday's almost here because I get to do the podcast. And I get to jam
it
in
fun.
Eric just to work. Yeah.
It's a lot of fun.
Jam Eric
so,
and whatever's
happy birthday.
Going on.
It's... Happy
Hope
birthday,
you
Charles.
Have a great day.
Thank you.
So, with all of our awesome birthdays out of the way, it's time for Star Trek News.
Priority one message from Starfleet coming in on secured channel.
Incoming transmission.
Enter authorization code. Command codes verified. Define parameters of program. Level 9 authorization required.
Specify parameters.
Transfer of data is complete.
So I'm going to start off our news this week with a story, and all the stories we're going to talk about, by the way, you guys can find on our Facebook page, and you can read them in their entirety instead of my little, you know, brief breakdown of the highlights of the story. And our phone number, of course, is 646-668-2433. You want to give us a call and have your questions ready for Victoria Fox. We're going to be talking about Star Trek fan films a little bit later on. Speaking of Star Trek, Star Trek Discovery temporarily shuts down Toronto production over offset COVID contact. As the coronavirus infection surge in and around Toronto once again, Star Trek Discovery has hit the pause button on production. Months into shooting its fourth season, the series has shuttered for the next 2 weeks due to a contact that was a little too close for comfort for CBS Studios. Out on an abundance of caution, production officially was halted, which means right now, Discovery is penciled in to turn on the lights and phasers around May 6. The decision to stop production came swiftly after a Zone A individual on Discovery came in close proximity earlier this week with someone who had tested positive for COVID-19. The contact occurred away from Discovery's Pinewood studio set. The matter was detected through the contact tracing system widely employed in Canada's largest city and elsewhere in the province of Ontario. So everybody is fine. The show is all set. They just took a precaution. And like I said, they're due to go back to filming next week. So I just wanted to throw that out there to everybody. There's been a lot of rumors flying around. And none of them are true. And everybody's fine. Discovery will be back. And no problem. Also, Discovery and Strange New World film at different locations. So Strange New Worlds was not affected by the Discovery shutdown at all because of the way they do their pods and things like that. So Strange New Worlds is still filming, and Discovery has stopped for 2 weeks. So there you have it. Eric, what do you have for us tonight?
Oh, man, I'm really super excited about this story. And I got to tell you, of all of the kind of, like, I don't tend to pay much attention to the sort of what-if scenarios, like what if somebody came on Star Trek and guest starred in an amazing role. But I have to tell you, I'm a big fan of this one because she basically hits two of my three favorite franchises on the planet. So Star Wars and Battlestar Galactica star Katie Sackhoff, who actually every once in a while hangs out in Oregon coffee shops, would be open to a Star Trek role. After battling the Flash in the DC universe and spending time in memorable roles in the Star Wars and Battlestar Galactica universes, actor Katie Sackhoff said in a new interview that she would not say no to a chance to appear in a Star Trek project in the future. Sackhoff, who became a geek icon with her role as Starbuck in the Battlestar Galactica remake, has since gone on to appear in Longmire, Star Wars, The Clone Wars, and The Mandalorian. Quote, "I mean, I haven't been in Star Trek," Sackhoff told Looper. "That seems to be one that's still there, and still exists for the possibility." A pretty good possibility at that. Sackhoff has a long history providing voices for the irreverent animated series Robot Chicken, and so it would seem, unreasonable to think that that Star Trek Lower Decks or even the upcoming Star Trek Prodigy series would be out of the question. In both comedies, they're both comedies and kids shows. There's the possibility to embrace something that Sackhoff does better than almost anybody, going over the top in a delicious way. And man, I don't know what the right role for her would be, but I think she would be amazing in a Star Trek series. Now, my question to you guys as a follow-up on this article is, which Star Trek series do you think Katie Sackhoff slots best into? Just as an actress.
Well,
I think there are so many possibilities in Lower Decks.
Yeah.
I think it'd be so easy. They've had several people guest on that one already. It wouldn't be difficult at all to be getting her in another. She's not as, I don't know what kind of characters they're going to have in Prodigy. But we've already seen so many guests on Lower Decks already. I think it'd be easy to throw a character in there. Look at how easy they put John Delancey in there. Oh, John Delancey's in there. Oh, there's Q. He just popped in.
Absolutely. What do you think, Jim? Which series is best for Katie?
I would love to see her return. I would love to see her fill in for Jax as a new security officer. The Cerritos.
Fantasy World. Yeah. On Lower Decks. Oh, yeah.
On Lower Decks.
Oh, Jax.
You know, an animated version of her, I think, would be great.
You know, I think that would be amazing, but wouldn't she also be so cool as a Fenris Ranger in Star Trek Picard? Like her alongside, Jerry Ryan. Oh, my goodness. I can't even imagine. It's like too much power in one room.
That would work. I think it would work anywhere, actually.
Yeah, you're right. She's made for it. All right, Charles, take us to the next article.
All right. Well, I talked about this last week, and I was talking about this a little bit about this happening. LeVar Burton to be Jeopardy guest host. Petition credited. The 200,000 plus LeVar Burton boosters who signed a petition calling him to be the new Jeopardy host will get to see him try the job on for size. Burton is among the final group of guest hosts for the quiz show, which launched of longtime host Alex Trebek to cancer last November, and has put off its announcement in an email. A spokesman for Burton said he believes the petition drive and his social media interactions with fans were a factor in the invitation to him to be guest. I can't wait for the exact dates to be announced for that. I'm either at home or DVR, but I want to see how he does on Jeopardy. I can't wait to see him there.
That's going to be so cool.
Not only a Geordie fan, but a Reading Rainbow fan as well.
That's the thing, is he's just so well-spoken, and I think that he has a natural kind of presence that will lend itself well. You know, Jeopardy is different from other game shows where you don't have to be, you know, quite as funny and kind of like, you know, making little jokes on the side. It's a little bit higher class, and I really think he fits right into that just genre right there. It's going to be amazing. And as I said last week, my friend Dagny is freaking out about this because she is a huge Jeopardy fan, like a gigantic Jeopardy fan, and also a huge LeVar Burton fan. So thank you, fans, for helping him get to this point.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we talked a little bit about this last week as well. Zachary Quinto would be happy to do another Star Trek movie, open to a Spock TV show, too. Within the franchise set to return to the big screen in June of 2023. Now, one of the stars of the last three Star Trek films is weighing in on the possibility of a fourth. Zachary Quinto, who played Spock in the three Kelvin Universe Star Trek films, expressed ignorance on the future. He's also optimistic of the Kelvin cast interest. He said, "Honestly, I have no real idea what's going on with Star Trek, but we all love each other, and we all love the experience, and I'm sure if it comes back around and we're available, I'm sure we'd be happy to jump back on board." No pun intended. That's in other people's hands now. I, for one, have had sort of moved on in terms of any kind of expectations, but you never know. Things come back in surprising ways and at surprising times, and it could be fun if it happens. Interesting. Interesting. These days, okay, franchises are getting a lot more complicated, including characters moving between feature films and television, such as the Disney Plus Marvel show WandaVision and upcoming Star Wars Kenobi limited series. When asked what he thought of the idea of doing Spock on the small screen for Paramount Plus and if he was open to the idea, Zachary said, "It's so hard to say. I consider anything and everything that comes into my experience, and I consider it on an individual basis, based on criteria that are specific to the time and those circumstances. It's hard to be theoretical about these things." Quinto told Pop Culture, reiterating that while he has not moved on from the character, he is not going to feel attached to any expectations just yet. "I love that character. I love that world. I think there's a lot of possibilities of storytelling in there, and I'd certainly be open to any conversation, but it depends on the who, what, where, when, and how, and why. And like all those questions, they can only be answered in specifics, not necessarily hypothetically. So we'll see." With Paramount Pictures and CBS now again all under the Viacom-CBS banner, bringing the films and television shows back together is a distinct possibility. So we might see Zachary Quinto's Spock maybe showing up on one of the TV shows. Who knows? I would be up for it. I think he played a great Spock myself.
Yeah, he played a great Spock, and it's interesting that he gave such a kind of cryptic answer to that question. I mean, he almost gave like a Spock-like answer to that question because, of course, Zachary Quinto was first made, well, I don't know if first made, I certainly became aware of him as Siler from Heroes, of course, which is a television show. So, you know, a return to small screen. He seems to, I don't know, this article seems to suggest that he thinks that that's almost like a downgrade from the films for Spock, but I think it would be awesome to have a Spock TV show. And he does such a great job in that role. It brings a new flavor to that character.
Yeah, I agree. And Charles, what do you got for us next?
Okay, well, we're going back to LeVar again. LeVar Burton. I don't necessarily need to go back to start the character Jordy LaForge. Remember last year when LeVar Burton seemed to suggest he would be happy to reprise his role as Jordy LaForge to start the Picard? Well, it seems as though he may have changed his mind. Of course, in true Hollywood fashion, he's leaving the possibility open. Burton told Newsweek, "I'm really happy with where Jordy sits in my life. And even though I feel like it would be fun to revisit him now and again, living in his skin every day, I don't necessarily need to go back to doing that. when they asked him explicitly whether Geordi could turn up in Picard season 2, he said maybe, noting that the time period of Picard is contemptuous. And he's right. In fact, Geordi LaForge is a notable character in Picard's prequel comic series, Countdown, which he established that at least at the time of the attack on Mars, he was in contact with Picard. And if you go into the book, The Last Best Hope, Geordi is talked about in that book as well, because he was on Mars at the time and was off-planet when Mars was attacked, so we know that Geordi survived the attack. So we know Geordi's out there. What's going on with him? Who knows? But I would personally love to see more Geordi on Picard.
Yeah, I mean, this idea...
But the character in where he sits in the story, not to bring him back, just to bring him back.
Yeah, I was reminded of how much I really want to see Geordi in Picard because of our show last week when we rewatched All Good Things. And I love the scene where he comes to Picard in the vineyard and, you know, his eyes are different. He's got new implants, and which, of course, we see later in the movies. But, you know, that kind of like future Geordi just coming back to care for and interact with an elderly Picard. After the book, I was particularly excited about this. So I hope that him saying, I don't necessarily need to go back, I'm hoping that means I really am excited about going back. But, you know, if it didn't happen, it would be okay, because I would love to see him. I just feel like that's one of the things I really want to see in Picard is Geordi. I want to see Geordi and Worf. Those are my big two.
So listen, guys, we have to take another quick commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to be visiting with Victoria Fox from the Avalon Universe. Our phone number here is 646-668-2433. Get us on speed dial. Have your questions ready. Give us a call right after this quick commercial break.
Trek Talking. All things Star Trek and beyond. Thursday night, 7:30 to 9:30. All hailing frequencies are open. iTunes, iHeart, Stitcher, Spotify, Amazon, and wherever fine podcasts are found. Trek Talking, boldly going wherever your mind is willing to go.
And we're back. And Eric, there's a little bit more on Picard Season 2 that you need to tell us about, isn't there?
There sure is, and it has a tie to another one of my favorite series. So could a Star Trek Picard Season 2 trailer Easter egg hint at a Deep Space Nine tie? Mm-hmm. Although it's only on screen for a split second, eagle-eyed fans can catch a glimpse of the Bajoran Reckoning Tablet, an artifact from the Star Trek Deep Space Nine finale that could hint at the return of another beloved character. If you watch with a discerning eye, you'll spot the tablet in the second shot of the trailer right around the 12-second mark. It's an oval-shaped stone with Bajoran carvings that's missing a few pieces from wear and tear. It's an exciting Easter egg that may point to the long-awaited return of everyone's favorite emissary, Captain Benjamin Sisko, played by Avery Brooks. The Reckoning tablet made its first and only appearance in the DS9 episode The Reckoning, which when it was discovered and taken to Deep Space Nine to be studied. Captain Sisko worked with Dax to try and decipher the markings on the tablet, which is an ancient Bajoran artifact with significant ties to the prophets, wormhole aliens, who also serve as gods to the Bajoran people. In addition to housing a prophet, the tablet also housed a Paw race, an evil false prophet. Deep Space Nine ends on that final mystery, if and when Captain Sisko will return. With the Bajoran Reckoning tablet and Picard trailer, we may finally have a hint toward an answer. Captain Sisko smashed the tablet to pieces during the events of Deep Space Nine, but in the Picard Season 2 trailer, it's been pieced back together. Considering the tablet itself bears the inscription, "Welcome Emissary," it's not a huge leap in logic to wonder if the tablet could indicate the long-awaited return of Captain Sisko. Oh my gosh, you guys, my mind is exploding. I honestly, like, in all of the years since DS9, watching interviews with Avery Brooks and stuff, I never got the sense that he really wanted to return as Captain Sisko. And I, you know, this article doesn't say that he is, but it does, you know, that when I saw that trailer and I saw that Reckoning tablet, which is an obvious tie directly to the Emissary, you know, what are they going to do with that? Remember that one of the things that he says during that final episode is he says he'll return, but there's this whole time thing with the prophets, right? Like, they don't even understand linear time when he first meets them in Emissary. Yeah. So it could be that maybe, and this is my prediction right now, I'll call it out, I think we do get a return of Benjamin Sisko, but I think it's going to be a younger Benjamin Sisko played by a different actor. That's my guess. I don't know that Avery Brooks will come back, but that's just my personal, you know, prediction based on kind of the interviews that he's given since the DS9 days. Still, I am all in for a return of the character Benjamin Sisko. So, love this article.
Well, it's rather did you guys happen to see the did you guys happen to see the picture from Picard season 2 of Raffi and Seven sitting on what appears to be a train?
Yeah, back in time, baby, right? So what if there's a connection to, like, the Bell Riots episode from DS9?
Yeah.
Like, that would be so cool.
We could be talking some time travel shenanigans you, maybe. So, you know, there's a lot that could happen. So I'm pretty psyched about it.
Well, convention-wise, Avery's not shown up to anything to DS9. In fact, even his interviews on the What We Left Behind were from the Captain's documentary. I know he kept in contact with them, but he did not do any new interviews for that documentary. So I'd be surprised if he does come back. Now, they could bring Sisko or something with the prophets back, but I'm just kind of hesitant to think of him coming back.
Right. But the character could definitely make a return, which is exciting.
Oh, the character, yeah. A younger version of him played by a different different actor. Could easily happen. Very easily.
Guys.
I told you at the top of the hour, and the time has come. Our phone number here is 646-668-2433, and we have with us actor, producer, writer, and director extraordinaire, and kicker of Klingon butts, the one, the only, Victoria Fox with us. How are you doing tonight, Victoria?
I think my favorite piece of that is kicker of Klingon butts.
Well, you are.
And that might be one of the things I'm the most proud of.
I did see you kick not one, but two different Klingon butts. Actually, I think I saw you kick two Klingon butts in the same episode, matter of fact.
That's right.
Well, yeah, that happened, but little behind-the-scenes info, it depends on how you count, because I've either kicked two or three Klingon butts, because one of the two Klingons that I fought in the same episode was the same guy who played the Klingon the first time around. So I kicked his butt once, and he came back for more.
Oh, yeah. New character. That's three. That counts as three.
Yes, that counts as three Klingon butts. We're keeping score.
All right, I'll take it.
we're taking it. So what do you think about the Picard rumors about maybe the character of Captain Sisko returning?
Fascinating. And I love that, you know, sci-fi gives us all of these fun options for seeing, you know, the character in a different, you know, time, you know, period than we've known them before, getting to take that back. And that way, you know, you get to see a new actor take on that same role. and interpret it based on, you know, everything that we know about Sisko. I think that would be great. I would really like to see something, some twist like that happen.
Yeah, and with the Q connection, anything is possible. He just snaps his fingers and it's
right.
done.
Yep,
you know,
absolutely
no
anything can happen. So.
Whatever he does, done. End of story.
Yep.
It's kind of like when people kill off your favorite characters in movies. They just snap their fingers and they're dead. But who would do something like
that? Does that happen?
Do that?
I'm sorry.
No. That never happens. So, oh, boy.
You know, my boyfriend gives me a hard time because we'll watch any TV show. Just, I mean, pick a TV show that we've watched, and I will see a character, and I'll go, oh, I like them, and he'll go, why? They're going to die now. Because it happens every time. Every character that I love winds up dead. Every
Remind
time
me not
without
to...
fail.
Remind me not to watch TV with you.
Right.
Oh, man. I didn't know Victoria liked Tassiar so much.
Well, all right. Oh. I mean, this is something that I didn't notice when I was younger. It's something I've only noticed as an adult, so I don't know if it goes back that far.
Pretty good power.
Well, I remember watching Battlestar Galactica for the first time and getting all excited and seeing Rick Springfield, Jesse's girl, flying around in a Viper with Captain Apollo, and then 4 minutes later, he's dead.
Yeah, done.
I'm like, wow.
The first big
gone,
kill off.
Gone. Yep. He wishes he was Jesse's girl now.
Should have stayed on Earth.
Yep. Oh, boy. So, anyways, guys, we're talking with Victoria Fox. Our phone number here is 646-668-2433. And just let me give you guys a little rundown about Victoria, if you don't know. Victoria Fox is involved in the Avalon universe, and we've had several of the actors from their different episodes on this podcast in court, including Victoria herself several times. And you can find links to their excellent fan film on YouTube all over the place. So please go and check those out. And tonight, though, we're going to be talking about one in particular called Interlude. Now, usually when we talk to Victoria about one of her movies, she's kicking some Klingon butt, usually, as we were just joking about. She'll kick some Klingon butt, or maybe she wrote an episode or something. But in this particular case, she's the director. So what was it like going behind the camera versus being in front of the camera? Was it different?
Well, this is not the first one that I've directed. I've directed several of the Avalon Universe films, but this is the first time that I was directing for someone else, not a project that Josh and I were doing with Avalon, but someone else came to us and had a film that they wanted to get made, but they're not a filmmaker. So they asked for our help, and so jumped on board and took their script. And it's not an Avalon universe. It's not connected to Avalon universe in any way. It's actually connected to the Axanar universe. So if you've ever heard of Prelude to Axanar, this was a film that the writer, Jonathan Lane, who also was the executive producer, he had written this film to basically pick up exactly where Prelude to Axanar left off. So that was the thing that was different about this one, was that it wasn't something I was directing that I had written, because thus far everything I've directed was a film I'd written. So it's a little bit different experience when you are taking something that you wrote and you know the ins and outs of because you created it and you're bringing it to life, versus someone else handing you a script on the page that they have written, and then you're trying to take their idea and their story and bring it to life with your interpretation on it to the screen. That's a whole different ballgame.
Yeah, and you didn't physically kick any Klingon butt, but you did get to kick some Klingon butt indirectly. There was some really great space battles in that
yes.
in the interlude. Really, really some great
yes.
stuff. Really good stuff.
Yeah, we had a fantastic CG artist combined with a great sound mixer and an absolutely phenomenal composer who put all the pieces together to make those space battles work, and I'm really, really thrilled with them.
Now, I've got to ask you, because I had a lot of fans were contacting me on our Facebook page because they were confused about something that I want to just get clarification on, and that is the Avalon Universe. You are still working on the Avalon Universe, and this is a completely independent, separate project from what you're doing in the Avalon Universe, and the Avalon Universe is still going to continue on as it was before, correct?
Well, so that's a complicated answer, Jim.
Okay,
so,
well, leave it to me.
Good job, Jim.
Leave it to me.
So that's an answer that comes in several parts. So first of all, yes, this was a completely separate film, a completely separate story that was not connected to the Avalon Universe. The only connection to Avalon Universe it had was that myself and Josh were working on it, and that's it. Avalon Universe will be continuing. However, unfortunately, since the last time that you and I talked,
Now, wait. You're not killing people off because I can't handle that right now.
Well, so I have not killed anyone off. However, unfortunately, Josh Irwin has decided that he wishes to take Avalon Universe forward by himself. So I am no longer going to be involved in Avalon Universe. By extension, that means I guess we'll never know what happened to Beck or Ramirez or potentially some of the other Excalibur crew. Josh has decided to go forward by going backward. It's not out yet, I don't believe, but some of you may remember a guy called Derek Mason from the very first Avalon Universe film, Ghost Ship, played
Absolutely.
By
yeah,
Tyler
killed,
Donovan.
Yeah, you guys killed
yeah,
him
we killed
off,
him.
Too.
We killed him. But if you recall, as I told you at the time, and as we kind of discussed earlier, it's sci-fi, you know? So just because someone died doesn't mean they're gone forever. And so that's what Josh has decided to do, is he's decided to backtrack and take things in a direction with, I can't say because it's spoilers, but you're going to get to see Derek Mason again. So... you know, silver lining. I know a lot of people loved him and would like to see more of him. So that's going to happen in the future.
Now, what about Archer?
I believe Archer will also be seen at some point.
She was so – that actress was so –
I don't
so,
know how soon I, that's going to happen exactly because on the personal side of things – part of Tori's absence is because she has just had a baby. so she was a little occupied creating a new human being for a while. It takes a lot of time and focus.
It does.
So yeah. So she will be coming back. At some point in the near future, I think, once, you know, family is kind of settled in a little bit and she's, you know, maybe getting a night's sleep here and there on occasion again.
Yep. She was a great character. She was phenomenal. I really liked her a lot. And then you killed her.
I know. Well, you know what? Here's the thing. That one is actually 100% on Josh. He literally created that character to kill her. She was originally going to die. I mean, that was the plan the whole time, because that character was intended as character development for Tyler's Captain Mason. Only then we wound up having to kill him first because of other issues with having him available.
Very complicated.
Yeah, you know, I mean, filmmaking is a constant roller coaster of changing circumstances, and you know, you just kind of have to roll with the punches and, you know, do things on the fly sometimes. And so wound up in a situation where the character who was supposed to be getting developed got killed instead temporarily. But, you know, Josh still had the story that he had planned wherein Archer was going to die, and he said, nope, I'm still going to kill her. So we did. But, you know, as I said, caveat being, it's sci-fi. You don't really know that anyone is ever dead forever.
Well,
yeah,
he was a red shirt, too, so, you know, you got to take that, you know.
And we know how that goes, right? So.
Yeah, we know how the red shirts go. Well, anyways, so, what do we want to do here? Eric, do you have a quick question for Victoria before we cut to our next break?
Oh, man, all mine are big questions. So let's see. I will come
okay.
up with, so Victoria, tell us in 2 minutes what your favorite part of directing this episode was.
Oh, gosh, in 2 minutes. Okay. Well, my favorite part of this actually kind of surprised me a lot. Normally, because I come from an acting background myself, my favorite part is working with the actors. And I still loved that on this project. I loved working with the actors. But I discovered a new love in working with our amazing composer, Kevin Croxton.
Mm-hmm.
I am not a, you know, trained musician. I do not know much about music theory except for what I retained from, you know, a brief, you know, lessons in, you know, high school choir. But the experience of working with Kevin on this score was just one of the most enjoyable collaborative experiences I have ever had in my entire life or career. You know, Kevin sat down with me before he ever composed a single note of the score, and we just talked through the whole film and talked about, you know, the pace and the key moments and the arc of the characters and what we really wanted to, you know, bring the audience into and out of with these moments. And then, you know, I was with him every step of the way as he composed. He'd write a little bit, and we'd talk about it and go back and forth. And it was just one of the most rewarding experiences I've had as a collaborator. And I think that the finished product, the work, I think speaks for itself. I may be a little bit biased, but I absolutely love our score and think that that's one of the really key highlights of the film for me.
Yeah, awesome. Music is very important to any project. I think it's overlooked by a lot of fans, actually. I think that's why John Williams is such a maestro in the Star Wars movies, because he knows how music works. And I think Jeff Russo does the same thing for Picard and Discovery, is he knows when to use music and when not to. And music really sets the tone and the emotion of a scene. And the wrong song at the wrong time can kill a moment, just like the right song at the right time can make a moment equally. So anyway, listen, guys, we have to take our final commercial break. But don't worry, we'll be back with Victoria. We're not going to kill her off. Don't you worry. And our phone number here is 646. 646-668-2433. Give us a call, and we'll get you right on the air with Victoria if you have any questions about Interlude or anything that's going on with the Avalon universe. Please give us a call, and we'll get you right on the air with Victoria. We're going to take this very brief commercial break. And this is an oldie but a goodie that I thought I blew the dust off and pulled out of the archives. This is by a good friend of ours, a good friend of the show, and I think you guys are going to recognize it. I think you're going to like it. We'll be right back after this awesome message.
It's been a long road getting from there to here. It's been a long time, but your time is finally here. You can feel the change in your thoughts right now. Nothing's in your way, and they're not gonna hold you down no more. No, they're not gonna hold you down, 'cause we've got faith, love to call. We want to hear what you have to say. We've got faith to believe in Truck Talking today. You've got faith in your fingers. All you gotta do is dial now. You can reach us right now. We've got faith. We've got faith. Faith that you call.
And welcome back. We're talking with Victoria Fox. And, of course, that was by our very own Eric. Speaking of music, I guess you guys didn't know how musically talented Eric actually is, because not only did Eric sing that song, but he also sings our new theme song, which I had a lot of fun writing. Well, I didn't write the music, but I wrote the lyrics. So that's a lot of fun. So we're talking...
You know, I thought that voice sounded familiar.
It does.
Yes. That's Eric. So, Eric, now that we have the full time, you can continue on with your longer question.
Yeah.
The big one.
The more involved question. So, yeah, I want to make sure and leave times for time for these other guys, but. So we know that you have directed in the past, but there were some things that I noticed about this one that were a little bit different that I was wondering if you'd like to kind of geek out on just a little bit. One of the things that I noticed was that, and I'm assuming this is your choice, there were a lot more kind of towards the beginning of the film, close-up shots of control panels and things like that, and things that kind of bring you into the moment. Was that a decision that you got to make, or was that, you know, predestined somehow? But I just love the zoom in shots of what's going on the captain's chair control panel and other stations around the bridge.
Well, you know, I wish I could just say, like, yes, of course, that was absolutely me and take 100% credit for it, but it was really a combination of things. You know, one, that set is just so phenomenal. It's just
amazing.
Such a fantastic set.
Oh, I want to talk about the set,
and,
too.
And the details, yeah, the details on it are so great. So, of course, you know, I wanted to get to see, you know, the details of these screens and, you know, all the control panels and everything. And specifically, you mentioned the captain's chair, and that's one that I love because I did not know beforehand, because the last time we had seen the set, that wasn't there when we had gone down to look at the set in advance. And it wasn't until we got on set and we were mid-shoot, and I was talking about, you know, wanting to do, you know, certain shots and stuff, and I mentioned the, you know, panel on the captain's chair there that you see, and you know, Dana Wagner, who is kind of the set magician down there, I'm going to call him, because there's really no one word that really sums up everything that Dana does down there. He said, "Oh, well, do you want me to put something in there custom for you?" And I was like, "You can do that right,
yes,
right now, because we need to shoot it right now." And he goes, "Yeah, give me 5 minutes." And so Dana, you know, pops the panel out and does a little, you know, wizardry, pops it back in, says, "There you go." He's like, "What do you want it to say?" So he did that on the fly, so it would say exactly what we wanted it to say, and, you know, then we just went from there, and it was really great to have that kind of, you know, surprise you know, flexibility on that, because, you know, I figured we would just have to, you know, shoot a blank panel and then have,
you know, that done in post, where we would put, you know, the graphic on it, because that's what we usually have to do on all the other sets that we film on. But this time, we were filming on a set from the future, and we got to do things, you know, live on the day and the moment. So that was great, because then we could have the actor actually interacting live with that panel, and that was really fantastic. So yeah, it was partly, you know, my decision, because before we ever went down there, it was something that, you know, we talked about, wanting to have a certain feel, you know, on the bridge, wanting to have a different feel on each one of the bridges, because it's the same bridge set, but we're on two different ships. And then it was partly, you know, Josh's decision as director of photography. You know, he wanted to shoot, you know, certain things certain ways. And then, you know, a lot of it was just dictated by the circumstances of having this incredible, beautiful, detailed set that we wanted to show off, because why wouldn't you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. And I mean, it is really something. And I'll say, so one of the things that I did want to ask you about, which you just alluded to a little bit, was that we get to see the bridge of two Ares-class vessels in this film. I also noticed that you shot, it says filmed on location, both at Ares Studios and Warp 66, so both in Georgia and Arkansas. So tell us more about the two, like why the two Ares-class ships had different looks and how that plays into, if it does or does not, to the two different shooting locations. Those might be two separate questions. I'm not sure.
They're kind of two separate questions, but, well, you know, the film is such a, you know, sort of small little moment, right? You know, and we're on two different bridges going back and forth. And really, the decision to have them look different was motivated by my desire for clarity for the audience, to be able to just almost sort of instinctively understand, even if we weren't seeing a captain in a shot, we're on this bridge. This is the Ares. This is the Artemis. To try and have that sense of grounding for the audience visually to differentiate each of the ships. And that was partly based on, as far as the decision of how to do that, was based on the things that we knew from the script story, that, you know, the Ares is more damaged than the Artemis. So it's probably running on lower power, so it'll be a little bit darker, things like that. So, you know, I just wanted it to be clear without the audience really having to think about it, because we wanted them to be focused on what was going on emotionally and mentally with Durs on that journey, rather than trying to go, okay, wait, which ship is this?
Mm-hmm.
Now, yeah. As to the two locations we shot at, the sole reason for shooting at two locations is that Ares Studios had the bridge set, but that is all they had, and we needed a sick bay. So Glenn Wolf of Warp 66 had a sick bay, and we said, all right, well, that's a lot closer than, for instance, going down to Neutral Zone, who also has a sick bay. So we decided to, you know, just sort of film that here close by where we already were, so we could get that scene, because it was very important to Jonathan, the writer and executive producer, that we get to see Ramirez sort of laid low in this attack, rather than just alluding to it. He wanted to really visually put that in front of the audience. So we had to see sick bay, and that's the answer. It's not really anything in terribly, you know, in terms of creativity. It's just a necessity.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Well, it's fascinating to me that you guys go around and you know these studios well enough that you can find the right studio for what you need at that moment. So that's amazing. And, yeah, I want to make sure and leave time for these other guys. But yeah, go ahead. Thanks, Victoria. Go ahead, Charles. why don't you head out next?
The birthday boy himself.
The birthday boy's up.
Well, one thing, let's throw in, since we had talked about Frake and learning that they had to nickname him Toothpick break. So do we have two takes Fox or one take Fox?
Good question.
I'm Charles. I'm having a very hard time hearing you. You're very quiet. Can somebody repeat that for me?
We talked about Drake and learning that he gained the nickname Two Take Drake. So I wonder if we have one take Fox or two take Fox.
Do you get it on the first shot or the second shot?
Well, you know, that very much depends on the context, because oddly enough, I tend to do more than one take when I'm directing, but that sick bay scene that we mentioned was a very chaotic, crazy day that we just had a whole lot of circumstances that we were completely unable to predict. The actor who played Admiral Ramirez, his name's David Agronsonis, and he came down. He's somebody who's worked with Josh and I on Avalon Universe before, and he came down to play that role. He came in on a flight, and we had to get him that morning, get out to the studio, shoot that scene, and then get him back to the airport in about 6 hours. Is that we have about a 2.5 hour travel time to the studio and back. So we had a very, very small window of time to actually shoot the scene. And, of course, that included makeup, you know, special effects makeup and wardrobe and all of those things, camera setup and lighting and et cetera. That's complicated enough. But then we also wound up dealing with a bit of a freakish bit of weather that day, where we were getting snow and ice, but also there were tornadoes.
Oh, what?
So we drove out to set, got it done as fast as we could. I think we did basically a single take of two different setups. And then we packed it all up, threw everything back in the car, and booked it back to Fayetteville to get David on his plane and send him home before the weather got so bad that we were trapped.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
That's really something. And that's the kind of thing, like, it's like our podcast, which is live. You know, you never know when Jim's cat's going to jump on his head and pull his headphones off. So you just gotta bend in the wind, right?
Absolutely.
All right. Well, the question I want to throw out, which kind of was a head scratcher for me, we hear the chief engineer's voice, and then we see him on screen once, and then he shows up a second time with this big blackout or a bubble over his head, so we can't see him. You know, just what happened there? Did they have to blur out the actor?
So there are two different engineers. The first time we hear from an engineer, that voiceover, that's the engineer Leonov of the Ares. And then the second engineer that we actually see on screen is the engineer of the Artemis.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as for the blurring out of the face, that is actually something I was not involved in. That's a decision that Josh made because the person who played that role, Paul Jenkins, subsequently to us making the film, there arose a legal dispute between Paul and Alec Peters. And so Paul's legal team had asked that we put a disclaimer on the film clarifying that his appearance in the film was not an endorsement of Alec Peters by Paul. That's something that we all agreed to. in order to be able to release the film as planned. However, it's not something that Josh was able, I guess, to follow through on. And so his fix, I guess, for the problem was to blur out Paul's face. Since then, Josh has now gone back and he has recast and filmed that role with, guess who? Have any of you seen the no, not Archer, but close. You were one step away from getting the right answer there. With Tyler Donovan, aka Marty McFly, aka Derek Mason.
That's right.
And now aka Engineer of the Artemis.
Which was hilarious to see him in that role, like going from captain to engineer. And then I watched that whole Marty McFly thing. I can't remember where he did it in the Star Trek, you know, on the in engineering, but in a Marty McFly way, which was hilarious.
It is one of his and Josh's favorite things to do is to do whatever they're currently filming, Marty McFly it.
It was pretty funny. It was pretty funny. He sounded just like him.
Well, you know, I mean, there's a reason that, you know, that whole thing with Tyler started as a family Halloween costume where his wife at the time and Tyler and their son dressed up for Halloween as Marty, Jennifer, and a baby doc. And, you know, saw this and said, oh, my gosh, that's amazing. You look just like Michael J. Fox. Like, you could be, you know, Michael J. Fox. And so then that kind of spun off into Tyler deciding, okay, I'm gonna test that theory, I guess. And so he started doing down on Dixon Street, which is the sort of, you know, bar and entertainment area of Fayetteville where we live, going out, you know, on the weekend on the street and doing sort of street performances as Marty McFly. And then that turned to him going to conventions and doing Marty McFly, which has since turned into him doing, I hope I don't get this wrong, a film called Back to the 2015 Future. Forgive me, Tyler, and everybody else if I've gotten it wrong, but I think that's correct. You know, and he's done some really cool things that are that I think are neat, where he's done like people's he's done like appearances for people's weddings and birthdays, where he'll like make a video and you know, send a you know, wedding video to people in, like, I think it was like Sweden or something. And it, yeah, it's just kind of turned into this whole thing for him. So never know what could happen from a simple Halloween costume.
No.
Well,
so
Dan,
I just wanted to, you have another question, right, Charles? Ahead.
Oh,
I just wanted to go ahead.
No, go ahead.
It's you're the birthday
your
boy. Are we gonna see you in front of the camera again, or are you hanging up?
Yeah.
Because I would be really disappointed if we never saw her again. I mean, who owns that character? Who is that, your character? Or?
Well, you know, that's one of those tricky questions because of the nature of fan films being what they are. Technically, nobody can own anything in the fan film, you know, sphere. You know, Josh created that character originally, but he wrote that character for me to play it. And then everything beyond Ghost Ship for that character is material that I wrote and created. So who owns it? That's debatable and tough to say. But unfortunately, Josh has made the decision that I'm no longer going to be part of Avalon Universe. and the Avalon universe is something he's going to continue forward with. So I'm afraid that's it for Beck, at least Beck as played by me. I have no idea whatsoever if he intends to revisit that character in the future in some capacity, but if he does, it will be presumably with someone else playing the role.
Well, you know what we need? We need a big Klingon battle with the kicker of Klingon butts, and we need to have a big send-off with the, you know, where we look into your eyes and growl.
I would have loved that. You know, Chuck, who plays Ramirez, also, we probably won't see him again. And, you know, he and I would have loved to have had some sort of, you know, epic send-off as the other characters who have departed got to have. But unfortunately, that appears to not be in the cards for us. So on the flip side, that means you all get to write your own, you know, headcanon stories of what happened to Beck and Ramirez and the rest of the Excalibur crew, you know, when they are never seen or heard from again. what happened? Where did they go? What did they do? And you get to create, you know, whatever story you want. I know the story that I had created. I know where Beck was going to wind up. I know where Ramirez was going to wind up and where Menard was going to wind up and where the doctor was going to wind up. But those will, I guess, die a secret at this point.
So before that nice lady comes on and tells me that we're running out of time, what projects are you currently involved in? Where can people, are you going to create a new character or are you just going to be behind the camera? And if so, what projects are you working on currently?
Well, for right now, I've kind of made the decision that I think it's best to kind of let Josh have the space in the fan film community that he really wants to have for himself. I'm busy working on non-fan film projects at the moment. I've, in the last few months, been working on the casting teams of several films that have been really exciting. One called Monstrous, starring Christina Ricci. Another called The Chariot, starring John Malkovich. I was pretty excited about that one. And I actually just, you know, kind of had to rush, you know, to get here tonight because I was working on a film starring Justin Long, who sci-fi nerds might remember as like the geeky kid from Galaxy Quest. He's grown up now. He's, you know, not that geeky
wow.
kid anymore. and Kate Bosworth. So the casting side of things has kept me really, really busy the last few months. I have three short film scripts in development right now that I'm hoping to produce in the next year. Depending on how some things shake out with the, hopefully, fingers crossed, tail end of COVID. But, yeah, I've got a lot of things in the works, a lot of things I'm working on. I have a film that I have a role in front of the camera that will be on the Hallmark Channel in October. So that's exciting. And it's a little bit different fare than Star Trek, but... but you'll be able to see me on Hallmark in October. And, yeah, just lots of different things going on, keeping me very busy outside of fan film. So I would like to come back and tell some more stories in the future. But right now, all the stories that I had kind of created for Avalon Universe, some you guys will never get to see. Some, my understanding is that Josh is moving forward with those scripts that I created on his own. So at least those stories will be seen in some capacity. And I don't know, if an idea comes to me that I you know, think really fits in that framework of a fan film, I would certainly come back to it. But I don't know when that'll be at this point.
Well, you know what? I'm so glad that we knew you way back when. We can say to people, oh, yeah, yeah, we had her on the podcast when no one even knew who she was. So
that's right.
I really,
right.
You know?
You
really
can say, we discovered
thinking,
her.
Yeah, we discovered her. That's right. I really appreciate you taking time out of your schedule to talk with us. I really, really do. Thank you. Thank you so, so much for sharing some time with us and all the
thank
fans.
You guys. I love coming and hanging out with you guys and listening in to the rest of the show, you know, while I'm hanging on the line. And belatedly, but because I didn't want to interrupt earlier, but happy birthday, Charles.
Thank you.
That's cool.
Yeah. So,
very much appreciated.
Yeah. It just goes by so quick that the lady's telling me in my ear here that we have 3 minutes left till we get cut off. So thank you so much, Victoria, for hanging out with us and talking with us. I really appreciate it. And hopefully we can have you back again in the not-too-distant future. And maybe you'll get, you know, kick some more Klingon butt, I can only hope.
I am available for Klingon butt kicking. If anyone has a need.
Is that on your business card?
You know what? It's not, but it should be. I should add that to my resume.
Klingon butt kicker.
Careful, Jim. You might catch up for that batleth.
Yeah, seriously. Should take that batleth right away from you.
Yeah, I'm running away. I'm going to run and hide behind the... Well, thank you so much, Victoria. I really appreciate it, and hopefully we can have you back, and we can talk about all kinds of great stuff in the future. There's always a chair on Trek Talking for you, Trek or not.
Thank you, and I will be happy to come back anytime to talk about whatever you guys want.
Awesome.
Well, you know what? When we start talking, when Star Trek actually comes back on TV again, and this COVID is all over, and we have Picard to talk about, we have Prodigy to talk about, we have Lower Decks to talk about, we have Discovery to talk about, we have Strange New World
yes.
to talk about. You know,
I'm incredibly excited about this huge slate of stuff that we're going to get. It's, you know, an embarrassment of riches.
We can have you back on as a guest host, and you can share your opinions on different Star Trek projects or episodes with us if you're available.
Absolutely. Anytime.
Awesome.
It'll be fun. All right. Thanks a lot, Victoria, and have a great night.
You guys too.
See you, Victoria.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye. Guys, we're out of time. I've got to let you guys know that next week, Eric will not be with us due to prior obligations, so you're stuck with me and Charles. But what we're going to do is we have a lot of Star Trek news to go over. Some of the stories we bumped from this week to get Victoria on will carry over to next week. And we're going to have a lot of fun because we're going to talk about Star Trek Beyond. And there's a lot to talk about Star Trek Beyond for the 50th anniversary of Star Trek. And we're going to talk about, well, a lot about that movie and different situations surrounding it. So you guys want to tune in for that. And I just want to say one more time, happy birthday to you, Charles. And thank you so much for hanging out with us and Trek talking with us tonight. Thank you, Charles.
Oh, it's always fun to talk to it, and I love talking to our guests.
Yeah, Victoria is great, isn't she? And, wow, my God, we're going to get thrown off here. And, of course, Eric, we couldn't do the show without you either, Eric, so thank you so much for hanging out and Trek talking with us tonight, Eric. Thank you.
Love it. Thank you, guys.
Always fun. And, of course, thank you to each and every one of you guys listening, no matter where you are around the globe, no matter what time zone you're in, no matter what country you're in, and no matter what language you're listening in. We appreciate you guys so much, and we could never do the show without you. So thank you, thank you, thank you. Make sure you head over to our Facebook page, Trek Talking and Beyond, and tell us where you're from. We'd appreciate that. And tune in next Thursday, same bat time, same bat channel. We're going to talk about Star Trek Beyond. I'm your most excellent host, Uncle Jim, saying thank you, good night, and hailing frequencies are closed. Good night.
Night, y'all.
Live long and prosper.
Can we go already?
Yes, fine.
Oh, not good.
Engage.